Evening, everybody, again. Welcome back. So glad to see you all. I did. I remembered. So last night we talked about God's law. There was 10 commandments. So tonight we're going to continue with that topic. This would be part two, called Remember the Forgotten. Tomorrow morning we're going to continue in our series with a way out. So we're going to look into the plan of salvation. We're going to look into the prophecies in the Old Testament that prove Jesus is the Messiah. And tomorrow afternoon, we're going to continue with more prophecies found in the Old Testament that have to do with us today. And then Monday, we're going to go into unmasking the Antichrist. So after we build a nice firm foundation with the Bible, now we're going to start looking into some of these more difficult topics. But tonight is Remember the Forgotten, part two from last night, the Law of Love. Before we get into this, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all that you have done. I thank you for bringing us all here tonight to study your word again. And I ask that you please guide me and bless me with the Holy Spirit. Use me as your mouthpiece. Please guide my words that they may not be my own but yours. Please bless us with this message. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So a quick review from last night. We talked about the law of God or the Ten Commandments. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Nowhere in the Bible does it show that God or Jesus had done away with the Ten Commandments, as we have went through last night. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13:10, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So the only possible way to keep the law is by love. So if you love God and you love your neighbor, you're not going to break the commandments, because that refers to God and others. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." So the very definition of a saint is somebody who keeps God's commandments. In Romans chapter 3:20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So the whole purpose of the law is to reveal to us what sin is. Paul went over this over and over again, saying, "I would not know sin unless, except it was for the law." 1 John 3:4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." So, the very definition of sin is breaking the law. Okay? Now we're going to go back to Genesis, to the very beginning. Genesis, starting in chapter 1, we go into the creation scene. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Who created the heavens and the earth? God. Amen. Verse 3, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." Verse 6, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he calls seas. And God saw it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, that the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth as it was so. Yes. That's a good question. We could answer that later on. Okay. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights to give light on the earth. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also to give light on the earth. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now, verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And God saw it that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In Psalms chapter 33, verse 8, it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. I believe the Bible account when it says God created the earth and everything in it in six literal 24-hour days. How about you? Amen? Genesis 2:1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So, from day one to six, God is working, creating, speaking things into existence. The seventh day, he rests from his work and stops. And he blesses the seventh day and hallows it. And he rests on that day. So tonight we're going to talk about the Sabbath. Sanctify means to set it aside for holy use. Only one day out of the seven God had set aside for holy use. And that was the seventh day. So when did the Sabbath start? Creation. In the beginning. Before there were any Israelites, before there were Moses or the Exodus, or Jews or Greeks, at creation, at the end of creation, the Sabbath was made. A day of rest for everybody. Not just for a specific set of people, but for all of God's creation. Fast forwarding a bit, we go into Exodus. Now, as I had discussed last night, when God had brought the children of Israel out of captivity from Egypt, They were in captivity for 400 years. During that time, they had lost sight of who God is and his requirements. So he sent Moses in there to lead them out. God brought them out of captivity, and on the way to Sinai, he starts to teach them again who he is. Exodus chapter 16, starting at verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt." So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field." So God instructs Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you for food. You'll gather it in the morning, and you'll gather your portion for the day. On the sixth day, you're going to gather two portions for the sixth day and the seventh." God was preparing them to keep the Sabbath holy once again, something that they had long forgotten about. So what is interesting is if they gathered more on one particular day besides the sixth day, it would rot. It wouldn't be good for the next day. Only the sixth day were they allowed to gather two portions, and it was preserved till the next day. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Notice even after the command was given, people still were stubborn in their ways. They still wanted to go out on the seventh day to gather their bread, but they found none. God was upset because he had told them, on the sixth day, gather twice as much. Because on the seventh day, that's the holy day. I don't want you to go out and gather it. So the people started keeping the Sabbath after this. It's not until we get to chapter 20 where the Ten Commandments are given to the people. So this example here in Exodus 16 was given before they received the Ten Commandments, thus showing, once again, the Sabbath was established before Sinai, but it was forgotten. Notice in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment being the Sabbath rest. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." No other commandment starts with remember, just the fourth, because God knew people were going to forget it. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Notice also, in this same commandment, he says, you're not to work, your animals are not to work, your servants are not to work. Not even the strangers in your gates are to work on this day. Implying, it's not just for you, but for everybody. Mark 2:27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us, not the other way around. We have no right to change it or to choose which day we want to choose our Sabbath. God specifically made Sabbath, the seventh day, for mankind. Mark 2:28, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So why is the Sabbath so important? Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. So why did he give the Sabbath? As a sign. Verse 20. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. When we worship God on His Sabbath day, it's showing we worship the Creator. The only day that God had set aside for us to worship was the seventh day. So when we worship on that day, we are showing that we worship the one who created us. Any other day, you know, we can talk to God and pray to God, spend time with Him, but there's only one specific day that He tells us we are not to do any work, we're not to do anything else, that's just His day, keep it holy. If you look at the calendar, calendar starts at Sunday, which is the first day, which would make Saturday the last day. If you look at the names of the days of the week, where they came from pagan gods. So Sunday, obviously, they worshiped the sun that day. Monday would be the moon. Tuesday, Mars. Wednesday, Mercury. Thursday, Jupiter. Friday, Venus. Saturday, they would worship Saturn. But if you look in these other languages, so many other languages, the seventh day or Saturday is called Sabbato or Sabbath or rest, which is very interesting. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. The reason why I put these two verses in here is to show God compares his relationship with his people as a marriage. So, like every marriage, what do you need for a good, healthy marriage? Communication, right? Need to spend time with each other. Sometimes you need to even set a day for a date night. Am I right? You just need some time alone where, you know, you get away from everything else and it's just you two together, you know, strengthen each other's relationship again. The Sabbath is kind of like God's date night with us. So throughout the week, we're busy, we're working, taking care of our families, doing what else we have to do. But the Sabbath is the one day that God gives us off from all those things. He's saying, you know, you have six other days to do whatever you want. You could work, go out with your spouse, take care of your kids, whatever. The seventh day, I want to spend time with you. So, that is a day that we are to look forward to. And uplifting. You know, one day where we don't have to worry about the stresses of life, everything gets put on hold, and it's just God time. Okay, an example. Say I tell you it's my birthday tomorrow. It's not, by the way. Say I tell you my birthday is tomorrow, and we're celebrating here at the church, and I invite all of you to come by. And then I come here tomorrow, and nobody shows up. And then on Sunday, when I'm not here, everybody comes here celebrating. They bring out the cake, the goodies. Everybody's having a good time. And then I come by during the week, I'm like, what happened to you guys? You know, I was at the church on Saturday. I told everyone that was my birthday. I was waiting for you to come by, but nobody showed up. And they said, oh, no, we came by Sunday and had the party. Sunday? But my birthday was on Saturday. And that was the day I told you to come out. Oh, no, you know, we came by Sunday. All of us were there. We were having a good old time, but you weren't there. So it is today. Even though God had set aside the seventh day, throughout time, and we're going to actually get into this subject later on how people worship from Saturday and moved it to Sunday, but somehow people started worshiping on a day that God did not set apart, that He did not set aside as a holy day. So as we look at the Bible and read what the Bible says, we are to follow what God says and not what tradition is. Just like we were looking into the law last night, there's nowhere in the Bible where it talks about the law being done away with. Now, there was a law done away with, but we had to do some research to find that law, and that was the ceremonial law or the sacrificial system, which Christ had fulfilled. So, when it comes to finding out which day is the true Sabbath, we got to do the same thing. We got to search the scriptures. So, we saw that God established the seventh day at creation in the beginning. He gave it in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Did Jesus keep the Sabbath? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mark 2:27, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So Jesus is saying himself, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Luke 4:16, so he, speaking of Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Right here it tells us Jesus' custom was to keep the Sabbath. Matthew chapter 5:17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So Jesus did not break any of the laws, but he fulfilled them. Even the fourth. What about Paul? Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures. Paul's custom was keeping the Sabbath. This is after Jesus rose from the dead. This is after Pentecost. Paul is still keeping the Sabbath. Acts 18:4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So Jesus kept the Sabbath. Paul kept the Sabbath. The Jews were certainly keeping the Sabbath. But even the newly converted Greeks were keeping the Sabbath. So this was not a strange thing back then. It was a common belief. But somewhere along the line, it was changed. And it was not by Jesus. So when does the Sabbath start? Leviticus 23 and 32. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Genesis 1:5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. In God's time, the new day starts at sunset. So the Sabbath would start Friday sunset, and it would end Saturday sunset, which is a full 24-hour cycle. Now, we don't go by what man's time says. Man says the new day starts at midnight. What God says, it starts at evening. So he said, you shall celebrate your Sabbaths from evening to evening. So when Friday night comes and the sun goes down, that's the start of the Sabbath. And when Saturday night comes and the sun goes down, the Sabbath ends. The 24-hour period does not change depending on the time of the year. It's still 24 hours. Now, it may be earlier because, we turn the clocks back, but it's still a 24-hour period. It will go down, say, 7 o'clock Friday night, but it'll go down 7 o'clock Saturday night. Still have a 24-hour period. That whole day belongs to the Lord. So did God change the Sabbath? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Would it make any sense that he would give a law for certain people and then change it for another set of people? Would that be right? No. That's just logical. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Plain and simple. God does not change. Luke 16:17. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Jesus is saying, the law will not be done away with. It's easier for heaven and earth to be destroyed and pass away than for one little strike of the law to be done away with. James 2:10, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So if we keep 9 out of 10, we're still guilty because we're breaking one, right? God wants us to keep his whole law, including the Sabbath day. Isaiah 66:22, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Even after this earth passes away and God recreates, the Sabbath is still going to take place. It is still going to stand, as promised by the prophet Isaiah. So what do you do on the Sabbath? Isaiah 56:6. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Isaiah 58:13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So what is God saying here? On his holy day, we abstain from doing the things that we normally do. For instance, instead of working and doing laundry and cleaning and whatever errands, we stop those things for 24 hours. I know that may be hard for some of us, but believe me, you'll enjoy it. So, when the Sabbath comes along, we do God's work. We go to church. We do Bible studies. We help others. Instead of doing things for ourselves, we now do things for others. When we do that, we are serving God. Matthew 12:12, of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Coming right from Jesus. Then he said to them, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Jesus would go out and do good on the Sabbath. He would heal people not only physically, but spiritually. Luke 13:10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Doing Bible studies. Preaching. Spreading the gospel. These are all good things. When you look into Matthew chapter 25, Jesus goes over two groups. So we're going to look at the first group. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with them, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Just going through this list. Now, this is just fundamentals of being a good Christian, but these are things that we can do on the Sabbath. Feeding the hungry. Helping out strangers. Clothing the naked. Visiting the sick. Going to prison and visiting the people in the prison. When I was home, I was involved in prison ministry. Every Sabbath afternoon, we would go to the prison and have a Bible study, or it was more like a worship service with the inmates. And they loved it. So for 2 hours, Sabbath afternoon, we were conducting a worship service in the prison. And I enjoyed every bit of it. I didn't feel like I was in prison. I felt like I was among my brethren. They were coming and they were hungry for the word. But these are just part of the things that you could do on the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is not just a day where we just lock ourselves up in our bedrooms and just take a long nap until sunset Saturday night. There's no joy in that. I'll tell you from experience. When I first started keeping the Sabbath, I was like dreading that day because I had nothing to do that day and it felt like it just dragged on forever. I didn't realize that there were so many things that you can do. So once I started getting more involved in the church and I started getting more involved in outreach and doing evangelistic efforts, I couldn't wait for the Sabbath to come by. You mean I don't have to work? I don't have to pay any bills that day? I don't have to stress out about anything? I could just go help somebody? Sign me up. It was a joy to spend time with the Lord. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, if you think logically about this, when people say that the law is done away with, and you ask them, say, okay, the law is done away with, so that means I could just take your car keys and just steal your car, no problem. They're like, no. So, okay. So that means I can just kill this person because I don't like them. Well, no, that's not right. Oh, okay. So that means I can sleep with your wife and that would be okay. No problems because the law is done away with. Like, you know, now they're getting mad. So like, no, none of those are done away with. You know, those are still intact. Oh, okay. Well, what about the Sabbath? Yeah, the Sabbath, that's the one that's done away with. You mean to tell me that only one out of the 10 God just decided to change? Does that make any sense? No. But we are so dug into our tradition and the way that we have been brought up around these things, we're not willing to look at what the truth is. God set aside the seventh day, not the first. We're going to look into who made it the first day in these coming up meetings, so please do not miss them. So, right now, it's Sabbath. Friday night, the sun has set. Happy Sabbath. I'm asking you if you would join me tomorrow morning and celebrate Sabbath with me. As we continue our meetings, tomorrow we're going to go into the plan of salvation. We're going to look into the prophecies that prove that Jesus is the Messiah. It's a very exciting topic, so I hope that you could all make it. So please join us tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Before we close, just ask whoever wants to join us tomorrow, if you would please stand with me, and we'll have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word and your truth. I thank you for your guidance and for just everything that you do for us, Lord. I ask that you please continue to guide us and help us to walk along with you. Please bless us on this Sabbath day that we may keep it holy. I thank you, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, it was so nice for you all of you to come out. Good to see you all, and hope to see you again tomorrow morning. So have a safe trip home, and may God bless you all.